then part of our worship is breaking bread together.
Okay, from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. Staying with our theme of simply gospel. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went away to Galilee. He did not stay in Nazareth, but went to live in Capernaum, a town by Lake Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was done to make what the prophet Isaiah had said come true. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road to the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee, land of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the dark land of death, the light will shine. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message. Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And it's that last verse that we're going to focus in on a little bit, and if the PowerPoint will come up in a moment, and perhaps because the presenter's not working, I'll just indicate when we need to change, Balaji. Okay, we can have the whole of the slide, that would be fine. This is the verse we're focusing in on. From that time, Jesus, and the emphasis, actually, in one of the emphases in this verse is, began. He began to preach his message, turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And we've been very clear as we've spoken that the message that we share is not to be of our invention. I listened to a great part of the Sunday programme this morning, and I heard from every part of the world the church saying that we had to give the people what they wanted to hear. And I wondered whether people had read their Bibles about the times when people are saying, give them what their itching ears want. We actually want to share with people God's message, not our message, not our invention, but the message, the gospel of God. And the gospel is God's message, God's news. It is not to be our invention. We dare not add to the gospel. We dare not take away from it. We really do not dare. It's more than our salvation is worth to dare to do that. And I'd like us today to think about what the significance is of these words that John had used and now Jesus repeats. Turn away from your sins because, and that's a very important word, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And through this year, we need to be thinking individually, but also as a gospel people, about how we present the gospel to other people. Those who are our friends, those who are our family, those who are our neighbours, those who are our workmates, and a wider audience if we have that one. In other words, we're not just doing something theoretical, we're working out what this means in practice in our daily lives. Michael Green, one commentator, says that there are three sides to the gospel presentation of Jesus, and that you can see those clearly in verses 17 and 23. We see that Jesus proclaimed the message boldly, like a herald making an announcement going into a city. But he didn't just proclaim it or preach it, he also taught it, meaning that he spoke about it, he explained it, he brought correction. So he proclaimed it, he actually taught it or spoke it. But also he demonstrated it with all kinds of healing and deliverances. And that as we share the gospel, it is not just with words, but it is also in actions. Jesus did not just announce and did not just speak about God's kingdom, but he showed God's power. So we have to ask ourselves about our message three things, and I just quickly remind you in the next slide, if that could come up. And these are the three things that we need to think about. Can we just see that? So we see proclamation, we see that he spoke and taught it, he demonstrated it. Okay, thank you. And then the three things that we need to ask about ourselves. The next slide, thank you. We need to ask how we present the gospel. Is it Jesus-centered? Is it also a gospel about change and transformation that comes through Jesus, so not just for individuals but for society? And how do we embody and demonstrate the gospel? And we've talked about that, how we do that culturally. So that's just a reminder. We can go on to the next slide, thank you. Matthew is at pains to show that this was a new beginning. What Jesus was actually doing was a new beginning. He'd come from 40 days of spiritual testing in the wilderness. We know that his teaching follows on from John, but it was the beginning of something significant. Now, when you read Matthew's gospel, and we're going to stay with this slide quite a long time, you'll see that Matthew does not necessarily write things in a chronological order, strictly chronological. He often groups things together in themes. We need to remember that Matthew is writing to a predominantly Jewish group of people, and that the theme, Jesus is King, is right there all the way through Matthew's gospel. The reason I say that is because we're talking about kingdom, and so there's an awful lot about Jesus being king and bringing in the kingdom of God, and that's one of the things that Matthew wants to establish. The reason that the map is up again, and I can't, although the presenter's not working off and the little torch is on it, but I haven't got that here. Matthew tells us something about the geographical relocation of Jesus. So if you looked at verse 12 in front of you, we actually start to read that he didn't stay in Nazareth. It goes on like that. So if we read, and you can watch on the map and think about it, we see that Matthew is not just setting the scene. He's not just telling us nice little things. He's giving us important information. So Jesus leaves the region of the Jordan, where he's been baptized, and in the wilderness area, and he moves into the region of Galilee. Hopefully you can see where that is on the map, up by the sort of the middle lake there, the Sea of Galilee. And he goes into the region of Galilee. And the nickname for Galilee was Galilee of the Gentiles. It's rather like we would say if you go down to Brick Lane, you're going into Bangalore. Well, Jesus was going into Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee is a province of about 50 by 25 miles in area, but it was densely populated. Don't just think of it as rural, beautiful areas. There was that, but it was the most densely populated part of the Middle East at that time. We know a lot about it because Josephus, one of the historians, was governor of that region at one point. And he tells us that there were 240 villages or towns, each of which was over 15,000 people. They were considerable settlements. And Jesus went into this area of Galilee. The reason why it was so populated was, of course, because it's extremely fertile. Jesus, though, doesn't linger in his hometown of Nazareth in Galilee, where he wasn't particularly well received, but we're told that he goes to live in Capernaum, which always amazes me. But he seems to have made Capernaum his base at one point. That's on the northerly shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was a beautiful, beautiful place in many ways, but he probably did that because Peter's house would have been there, and he would have used Peter's house as a base for his itinerant ministry moving round the area of Galilee. But you and I know that when you're traveling every so often, you just have to have a shower, you have to have rest, you have to have food. And he made his base for a time in Capernaum. It's on one of the oldest trade routes, that whole part of Galilee, where everyone, including Jews and large numbers of Gentiles, pass through. And this is his choice. This is the stage he chooses at this point, rather than the capital of Jerusalem. Right? The heart of Judaism. He doesn't pick that. And we're told he works within that province in the district of Zebulun and Naphtali. And by doing that, he actually fulfills the amazing prophecy that's given in Isaiah chapter 9. The land of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali was once disgraced, but the future will bring honour to this region. This was a terrible area for the Jews because the Assyrians in 234 and 232, Tiglath-Pileser, had swept through this area. It was a land of disgrace, but now it's to become a wonderful area. Future will bring honour to this region, from the Mediterranean eastwards to the land on the other side of the Jordan, and even to Galilee itself, where the foreigners live. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. Some of the scriptures that the Jews had never understood, that the Messiah would come to bring light to the foreigners, and not just the people that thought they were kosher, God's people. And Jesus is in this area when he begins, and the emphasis is on what he is beginning. So Jesus first preaches message, yes, to Jewish hearers. Yes, he called fishermen to follow. But he is, right at the beginning, pointing to a message, as Matthew declares in these verses, that will bring light to the Gentiles. Those who walk in darkness will see the light. His is a gospel for all people. And if we do not understand that most essential of messages in our hearts, not just in our heads, then we will not be excited at living in London at the moment. But if we believe this, that this is a message for all people, then we are in one of the most exciting places in the world. Because in London there are more nations than anywhere else on the earth, and we have been privileged to be here at this time. We're following in the steps of our Lord in declaring a message that is light for the Gentiles and may also be a light for the Jews as well. The gospel of the kingdom, that's another name that's given to it in verses 17 and verse 23. If you could see the next slide, thanks, Balaji. And he begins and he talks about something. What is it that Jesus talks about? It's up there. I was going to try and hold it back. Most people would say he talks about repentance. That's the message. Well, sorry, you're only going to get half a mark, because that is not what he talks about. He talks about repentance and the kingdom of the heavens. And this is so important, because often we go out with what appears as a negative. In fact, repentance is an incredibly positive thing, because it's about changing your mind and living differently. It's not a negative message, but sometimes we really don't link the two. And the message that Jesus shares is about repentance and the kingdom of the heavens, Matthew calls it, the kingdom of God, the other gospel writers use. Now, soon, other features of the gospel are going to appear. We know that Jesus goes on to deliver other sermons and talks. But there are main threads: repentance in the kingdom, life in the Holy Spirit, and seeking to live holy, perfect lives. And those are three of the strands as we progress through the gospel. And so many people get stuck and almost obsessed with one part of it. But he spoke, Jesus, right at the beginning. He begins with repentance and the kingdom. And that's incredibly important. And we must not lose that. This is a beginning. And if you read Matthew's gospel, you see he uses that term. Here in verse 4, verse 17, he says, Jesus began to preach. And also in chapter 16, verse 21, in another stage in the life of Jesus, it says, Jesus began to explain that he must suffer. And so he's opening different chapters within his gospel, different parts of the life of Jesus. And that was a terrific shock and never really grasped until after the crucifixion by his disciples. Now, belonging and believing. I am aware that in today's world, where people often feel rootless, that there's a great need to discover a place and a people to belong to. I'm aware that people are encouraged to come to churches for all sorts of reasons. I understand that entirely. And I also believe that people should be welcomed and allowed to begin to belong before us ramming a message down their throat. I am aware of that. But the key question really is, where do we introduce some of those tough truths of the gospel? Not just repentance, which is actually something very positive, but repentance and the kingdom. Right from the beginning, hopefully, we start to introduce the fact of King Jesus. That we're talking about Jesus who came to establish a kingdom as well as to call for followers. And our message needs to be about the kingdom of God, about God's will being done on earth as in the heavens. King of the heavens came to establish God's will upon the earth. Earth and heaven worship you, strong deliverer, faithful and true. The seen, the unseen, this amazing world. So we do need to share the message of the need to repent, to change your mind and behave differently because of the kingdom of God, because of King Jesus. I do think we need to give people a reason. Most people know they are not perfect. Most people would probably admit that they sin, they do wrong things and they fail to do good things. But this is actually saying, repent, because the kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus is drawing near. This is a reason. Now, some might say, therefore, there will be a day, and I believe that there surely will, when we will face judgment. But it's actually saying something very powerful is happening. God's kingdom is drawing near. And that is the reason why we really need to get our lives sorted out as God directs. There is a need for us to begin to understand, and people that we meet with, about God's kingdom and about our own failings, about our selfishness, and that God just doesn't diagnose, he also gives the cure of souls. Jesus' reason for repenting was, turn away from your sins because the kingdom of heaven is near. Now that is something that we also need to do, and I always remember that at this communion table, that we need to be those who are turning away. We are constantly living in repentance, turning towards God, turning away from our sins and our failings. And several people sought, you know, the Lord's forgiveness, that awareness today. We need to be those that are living a life of repentance, not just pointing out to other people, you need to repent, but we need to repent because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens, is near. And it's not just young people that need to understand that, although obviously they do, but those of us that are a little bit more mature and riper in years. It's a message that's constantly with us, that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near in Jesus. Okay, slide number 6. Matthew is plain, and we see that Jesus is sharing something of significance, and that something of significance was actually happening. And the coming of Jesus was of cosmic, I daren't even say universal, it's way beyond that, because God is eternity to eternity. But something of significance was happening. Now the Magi recognized that, those people that traveled from the east, They knew that when a star or a supernova or whatever it was that hundreds of thousands of years, you know, had started to die and come into the towards the Earth's orbit, they knew that something of significance was happening. And they believed that that coincided with the birth of the King of the Jews. And so they set out on a journey to Bethlehem in Judea to find out where this one was born. And then they heard the prophecy reiterated. He will be laid in a manger in swaddling clothes. They recognized it, and now Jesus is telling them something is happening from the heavens. And the Greek is literally the kingdom of the heavens. This is a message about the heavens. Whether there's a third heaven we call paradise, or however many heavens, the highest heaven, you know, but from the heavens something is happening. This is not just a small event happening, you know, in Bethlehem, Nazareth, Galilee, even Jerusalem. This is the King of the heavens that is arriving, and that is why we need to get ready for that. An amazing event in time is occurring. The kingdoms of the heavens is near. It's not just an amazing event in time, although it happened within time and is of great significance, but it is about one person drawing near. He is drawing near. John foretold it, but Jesus is it. The kingdom of heaven is drawing near. And the kingdom of heaven is coming with the King. He is bringing in the rule of God. Strike one. That's the news. You know, this is why. That this event has happened. Now, how we convey that to people, we cannot do it because it's awesome without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that we can do it in many creative ways with words and images and amazing things, and may God enable us to do all of that. But actually, the size of the event can really only be conveyed as a revelation by the Holy Spirit to people, that they suddenly begin to grasp, you know, that Jesus is not just a significant figure in history like many, many others, but this is the King of the heavens. Why does Matthew, and you, some of you may know this, it's very, very basic, you may have done it in school RE 40 years ago for all I know, when they still did RE. Why does Matthew generally talk about the kingdom of heaven? Just occasionally he talks about the kingdom of God. Most of the other gospel writers talk about the kingdom of God. Well, let's be clear that they're one and the same thing. That's the simplest thing to say. But quite simply, Matthew does it because he's writing largely to Jews. And Jews were very wary about using God's name, the holy name. So as you know, they often did the tetragrammaton. They missed out different letters in Yahweh and did that. And, you know, they just didn't want to. The name was so holy. And therefore, Matthew and others, many Jewish teachers at the time, used periphrases, words, big words, which described, so the kingdom of the heavens, to talk about the kingdom of God. The name was so holy. And Matthew resorts to that because he's trying to communicate without putting up barriers and just casually saying the name of he who must not be mentioned, which the holiest of all names, of course, is, you know, the I am. Somebody said, I think you said that, you know, it's the I am. You know, I am that I am. The most wonderful, incredible revelation to Moses. You know, I am. That's what you can say about me. I am. And one day you won't be unless I choose that you are. I am. So Matthew's very clear that Jesus came to establish God's kingdom, for God's control and power to be seen in the earth. That's why there is great battle. That's why the gospel is about battle. And Jesus announces the kingdom of the heavens is drawing near. So repent, turn away from your wrongdoing. Well, one would want to, wouldn't one, if, you know, the King is coming in. And what's more, you're being offered relationship with that King. So, Jesus' message about the kingdom of heavens drawing near may have caused a stir as he spoke and embodied it 2,000 years ago, but does it have the same reaction and response today? what I want you to think about as we're around the table. Will it have the same reaction and response? Well, perhaps only if we do more than speak about it, is my answer. Perhaps if we show the change that following King Jesus makes to us as a people and to us as individuals and to us as families, and that we are no longer in control of our lives, that we have given our past, our present, and our futures to the King, that to him we owe allegiance greater than any state on earth. And we will only do the will of the state as long as it does not contradict with the will of Almighty God. That we have no nation on earth other than our new nation, but that also we will be responsible citizens, as Paul says. But will it have an impact? Well, we are going to have to show what it means to be followers of the King now and to bring in the kingdom of God. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. He has taught us to pray and to bring in the kingdom, to seek first the kingdom, to prioritise our whole lives around the kingdom, King Jesus. That is my message today. And we're going to learn a song, and then we're going to come and break bread and promise to follow the Lord, thanking him for his forgiveness and his healing, and going on together. But we're going to learn, Jesus, you know what it's like to be human, which has to be a wonderful gospel truth. The humanity, as Pete said, you know, the holiness and yet the humanness. Utterly amazing.
This is a very simple song, and we'll sing it through a few times, and you guys can pick it up.
Jesus, you know what it's like to be human.